This month, May, as a matter of fact, on May 22nd, it will be 3 years since Mark Christopher put a mark on those of us who knew him. He marked us men with his incredible response to dying at 43 years old. For those of you who didn't know Mark, let me tell you a little bit about him. He was 43 years old when he died. He was diagnosed with adenocarcinoma in the chest wall 18 months earlier, which they're not sure where it comes from. He never smoked a cigarette in his life. He was a real estate broker, one of the top commercial brokers in the business. He won the Phoenix Award, which is a big deal. Sportsman, I watched him one day hit a drive 300 yards. I mean, I thought the thing would never stop going up at Cherokee. It just kept going like a bullet. And I said, I can't believe anybody can hit a golf ball that well. And he was a big fisherman, fly fisherman, hunter. He's just an amazing guy. He was a table leader here for years, and he was a member of the board of directors of the not-for-profit corporation that supports this kind of activity really all over the world, Leadership Ministries, Inc. He was married to wonderful Nancy. She is a refined, very nice lady with two adopted children. And I had the privilege of introducing him to the attorney who helped them put the deal together with their first child. It's just one of those just great deals where I introduced him to a attorney that specializes in child custody issues, and they found this little baby, Logan. He and I were close friends. As a matter of fact, he helped my son Christopher get his first job out of college at Cushman & Wakefield. The gift that Mark Christopher gave to us about everything else was the privilege to see a man respond to the Word of God, the promises of God, while he battled lung cancer, which eventually won the fight. And the incredible thing that I wrote about some 3 years ago was the more he declined physically, the more the pressure on him, the brighter the light shone. We had a living example of a man like you and me. You know, we talk about Malachi and Peter and Paul and Moses and all that. I mean, sometimes it becomes an abstraction, you know, but we had a man right in our midst who took God's word seriously and never wavered right to the end. 4 days before he died, on the 18th, on a Saturday morning, he got on his hotline. What they did is they set up a hotline here in the city where people would call in, and he would have messages on there on a voice mailbox, and you could hear him struggling just to get the words out. And 10,000 people had accessed his hotline. And his message was this: don't assume that you have more time. I'm a living example of it. Take God seriously, he was saying. Take God seriously. Open your scriptures this morning to the third chapter of Malachi. God's response through his prophet Malachi to the question, where is the God of justice? Everybody's doing it. God must approve of evil. He must be pleased with people that are evil because everybody does it. Look at them. And his response to that question, where is the God of justice, is, I'm coming. And don't you think I'm not. A lot of men are not used to teaching on what I would call this dimension of God's personality, his character. You know, he's got a wide range. Yes, he is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and full of love and truth. And you got to keep going because his personality is infinite. And it includes his justice and even his wrath. And wrath basically is, an Augustinian monk said in the 16th century, love is God's work, wrath is his strange work. And basically what it is, it's a response to our rejection of his love for us. But thankfully, and I won't take full credit for it, it was really an accident. I left off a verse that is very appropriate in light of our memory of Mark Christopher this morning. God used Mark Christopher to put a mark on us. I mark for life by the man's life and death. He marked me. Just last week, I was talking with a man here who is struggling just to keep his business alive. And you know the tension that a businessman has when times are rough. How much does he cut? You can cut fat, but if you cut muscle, you can't recover if the economy were to turn around. You can't respond to market opportunities. And we reminded each other of Mark, how he handled adversity and suffering. And he went home and told his wife. He said, I talked with Chris, and Chris said, let's think about Mark. He said, I'm still making my mortgage payments, I'm still making my payroll, and I'm healthy, and I've got a wife, etc. So Mark Christopher made a mark on us. But this morning, God will put his mark, his signature, on his written promises to come, to return, and to judge this world. Here is God's signature. Verse 6, Malachi 3, 6. I, the Lord, do not change. The older translation, if you have one of the ancient translations, is I am the Lord, I change not. Where is the God of justice? I'm coming. Sign God. This is how he signs his name. Do any of you have a good study Bible that has the Lord there in a bold with a gold, bold capital L? A good study Bible, probably the New American Standard or the King James Version, will have, occasionally you'll see the word Lord in bold letters. Why is that there? What the publishers are trying to tell you is this is where God tells you who he is. This is his name. I am the Lord. I am the God who is there. What it is the future tense of the verb to be. I will be there. I am. So today, if any of us are tempted to lose heart and forget his character, he's saying to us, remember, I don't change. I am the Lord, I change not. I am there. Mark Christopher was terribly taken with the sovereignty of God, for instance. Every time somebody in sympathy for him would ask the question, why? How could this happen? A man that has such a heart to adopt two children. How could this happen? Mark would remind them of who is ultimately in control. You know, God is in control at the molecular atomic level of the universe. So nothing passes to us, we that belong to him, that he doesn't allow. And Mark knew that. He did everything in his power to stay alive, including going to clinics in Mexico, etc. But his prayer was, not my will, but thine be done. And the lesson for us that Malachi gave us from that fifth verse there is if we're tempted to cheat anyone, especially God, that's what sorcery is, when you start messing with something that's not biblical. A great theologian said that any thought about God that is not biblical is idolatry. So if we're tempted to cheat God or our wives, that's what adultery is, right? Or a business associate through perjury? Or a defenseless person in our lives? Or somebody we just don't relate to culturally? All of those things that I talked about in the fifth verse. Remember, Malachi is writing to us. God is there, right at that point of transaction. God is there. He was, He is, and He is to come. I, the Lord, do not change. A couple of months before his death, Mark and I went to dinner. Interestingly, we went to a funeral for somebody else, and then on the way home, we stopped and had dinner together. And he took me on, big time. He told me to make sure that I was enjoying life, which he now saw as so precious. He would not have the privilege of seeing his children grow up. He would miss all kinds of experiences that we take for granted. A couple of months before he died, he went out one weekend, he and Coleman, his little boy, and they rented a big four-wheel drive SUV and went up the mountains and just drove it over big stones and boulders and, stuff we take for granted. He said to me, "Chris, don't waste opportunities to enjoy your wife and family." He was suspicious that I don't enjoy myself enough, which is true. I'm doing a little better. Mark Christopher marked me. He changed me. Another man in my life, another human being, put a mark on me and many of us here, right? Today, God in His Word is saying, if you're tempted to not take me seriously, remember my signature. I am the Lord, I change not. Let's have prayer together this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the incredible privilege of seeing a man respond to your love and grace in his life the way Mark did. We thank you for that. We thank you for the privilege of remembering him this morning. We pray for Nancy and Logan and Coleman. We pray that you continue to provide for them and guide them as they try to adjust to the loss of their husband and father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.